Hey everyone, welcome to this week's sermon podcast of Be Church. Here, you can listen to our latest weekly sermons for your spiritual growth. We believe that this message will really bless you.
Amen. Come on, just greet someone next to you, behind you, to the left or to the right, because He's good and He loves us. Amen. Come on, let's give God one more time. Give Him a praise. Amen. Amen. You're welcome to be seated. And we want to say thank you for the worship team. We adore you and we thank you for who you are. Amen. Are you thankful for a great worship team? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I know you're going to be blessed this morning and you're going to see God's goodness and His faithfulness. Wonderful to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Come on, say with me, this year is my year. This year is my year. And you have to say it like you believe it. Eh? You have to say it like you believe it, because God has got something for you that you couldn't comprehend. And I believe that there's many things that happened last year. We as a family has gone through many things, but I know many of you has gone through very tough times and trials and things, and you thought maybe, yo, something is coming, and then it's the opposite. Instead of thinking you're going 10 steps forward, you feel like you took 5 backwards. Right? Okay, I'm talking to one or two late. But in any case, the rest of you will catch up. We're in 2025 now. Amen. But I believe that God is faithful and God is a rewarder, and He watches over His word. And soon we'll share some testimonies of just what God is doing, and that the word says God is not a man that He can lie. Come on. And that what God says and that what God speaks, that He does. So I want to encourage you not to lose heart and not to lose focus of the purpose and the calling and even the vision. If you want to start a business or whatever, God is faithful. And sometimes there's things that happen that we don't comprehend or understand to the fullest. But do you trust God? Do you trust Him that He knows what to do and how it should work out? Job 23, Job comes, and you know the story of Job and all the things that he went through. And Job comes on a stage and he says this. Job, I think it's 23 from the verse 10 or around there, where he says, "But He knows the way that I take." Come on. He knows, say it for yourself. He knows the way that I take. Do you know that God knows even your steps? He knows the way that I take. And He says, "And when He has tried me, I shall come out as gold." Amen. He says, "Who am I to tell Him, you know, what to do? Whatever He thinks that He does and what He purposes." For God just gives him a little perspective and He says, "Hey, where were you?" Come on, say, "Where were I?" I don't know. Okay. Where were you when I measured the earth in my hand and you know, measured and spans and all these things when I created? Where were you? But still I know you and I've got a plan. And He says, "That what I have for you, I will work it out for your good and for my pleasure." Amen. Amen. So when He has tried me, I shall come out as gold. For He knows, come on, say it, for He knows the way that I take. Come on, say it. He knows the way that I take. Amen. Let me just open this. So, Father, thank you, Lord, for the word this morning. And as we are here in your presence, Lord, just come and do a deeper thing. And come and align our hearts and set us up for what you have in store and what you have in mind. Not our way. Not what we think, but what you do. That what you want, Lord. We come and we say, thank you, Lord. Come and just say it again in your heart. Say, "Have your way in me, Lord." In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I want to speak. Let's see time-wise where we get. Otherwise, we'll continue next week. But I want to speak on worship this morning. And two main things about worship. That God calls us in worship for a specific thing. There's two parts. But there's a one versus the other that I want to set up this morning. I want to speak on a transformation versus a masquerade. Transformation versus a masquerade or being a conformer. We all know that scripture in Romans that says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Amen? So we have a little bit of a look at that, but we worship God because He's worthy of who He is and because He's worthy. Amen? Not what we can get from Him. I don't know if you worship to get God's attention, but that's not the purpose. We worship God for who He is. We worship God because He commanded us to worship Him. Amen? Deuteronomy 12, I think, the heading there says, the worship God commands or demands from us. Not what He wants or desires or what we can. He says there's a worship that He commands or demands from us. Come on. So we cannot just have our own way and do just what we like. And whenever you worship as a means of getting something back from God, sometimes what we do is we make God our servant instead of our Lord. I need to say that. Whenever you worship with the intention to get something back from God, you actually serve God or worship Him and make Him your servant instead of making Him your Lord. Come on. You can say ouch or amen there. God is not a cheap formula. Worship is not a cheap formula. You know, if we do that, it becomes actually just a cheap formula for self-gratification, something we do for ourselves. And have you known that Malachi speaks about backslidden priests who have done that? And Malachi 3 verse 14, he says, they say, the priest, it is useless to serve God. Have you ever come to a place where you as a priest say, hey, it's useless to serve God? Have you thought about it where it says, what profit is it that we have kept His ordinance and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? He says they come to a state where it's just seeking for their own selfish gratification and, you know, they, what I can get from this. But they say, but, you know, it's useless to serve God and, you know, to keep all these things and, you know, to step and to keep in step with Him and be in place. God calls us as priests, but as a priest to serve Him, to bring a certain sacrifice, amen, unto the Lord. So whenever we worship God with the wrong motive, it is as deadening as serving a false God with a sincere heart or a sincere motive. The same. It can be a false pagan, false religion with all the passion. It's the same if you serve God with a wrong motive. God requires certain things of us. I mean, do you know the God that you worship? Do you know who He is and the God that you worship? Because you live in His Word, you bear His image. We belong to Him. Come on, you're His family. You have the revelation of His Word, don't you? We have His Holy Spirit. Come on. We have His Holy Spirit. But sometimes we've got like a commercial approach to worship God. Again, if we have like a commercial approach, it's again, what can He do for me, isn't it? A spiritual servant just to reward us. Now, don't get me wrong. When we worship, there's byproducts, there's by-benefits, or there's, yeah, byproducts. So worship, and that's where I want to get to this morning, is worship needs to be a transforming experience. There needs to be transformation. Anything else without the correct worship will be empty. Come on. There's many things that we've tried, but we've separated from true worship. And worship, I don't speak about the singing of songs only. Worship is a lifestyle, because Adam worked and steward or tended the garden, and it says his work and his worship and to have dominion. So whatever God calls you to do is your worship. So you do this to worship God, not to just get something. But because you worship and you're in His presence, there's some byproducts. You're blessed by byproducts. There's a powerful, lasting, revelation that you get. There's benefits being in His presence. Amen? So worshiping ought to contribute something to your life, yes. But that's not the reason you seek Him. That's not the reason we worship, is it? You worship because He's worthy. That's our setting. So let me just give you Albert Palmer. He's got a definition of worship, and we're going to work with that. He says, worship means a release of energy. It puts into life something that steps it up to a higher voltage. Through worship, man comes to God at first hand, has an immediate experience with God, goes forth transformed and stimulated to new levels of endeavor. The word transformed is what we're going to look at. Transform, transformation. Worship should be a transforming experience. Come on. If worship is anything, it should be in our lives a transforming experience. Where we discover, we need to understand what kind of transformation. Have you ever thought, what is the transformation that God wants to take us through? What is the transformation? Because God says, we will worship in spirit and in truth. So what's the transformation? And that's what I want to speak. Metamorphosis, a transformation versus masquerade. Come on, metamorphosis versus masquerade. Who knows what's metamorphosis? We were all in school. In primary school, you had to do these things. So we all had that little cocoon and we were all watching it closely for the butterfly to pop out, isn't it? For that caterpillar to go in, and then we wait and wait and wait, and the butterfly needs to come. That's metamorphosis. It's a marvelous process or procedure of nature that changes tadpoles into frogs, the little caterpillars into moths or butterfly. I'd rather choose the butterfly than the moth. Are you a moth or a butterfly? Come on. But metamorphosis is not just a natural phenomenon or thing that appears in nature. Do you know that you find it in the Greek in the Bible? Metamorphosis, that's the word. Metamorphumai is the word. Or from the passive, metamorphua. Metamorphumai. And that means to be changed into one, or be changed into another form. To be changed into another form. That's what the word means. But this is the difference. The thing about metamorphumai is that the change comes from within. Come on, say within. That's where the change that we experience, the transformation, comes, originates from within. In other words, the change on the outside, because we want to see change on the outside usually. But the change on the outside is the normal and natural expression of the nature, what's on the inside. Okay? That's what we want. So the change is just the natural expression. What you see outwardly is the natural expression of that what happens inwardly. We never produce a butterfly by taking a worm and pinning wings to it. No? But some of us, our lives look like that. We think we're a butterfly, but you're a worm and you just have wings pinned to yourself. Come on. That is masquerade. That's just a form of. It's an outward appearance, but it's not from the inside. Come on, does it make sense? You need to stay with me. There's a word. So change must be from within. Say within. There's another word that speaks of change on the outside that does not come from within. And it's metaskematisumai. I'm just going to say it once. Okay. That's the Greek word actually for conform. So he says, don't be conformed. Metaskematisumai. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Metamorphumai. Amen. That means fashioned or conformed, to be made, conform. In other words, some people fashion their lives after the pattern of unbelievers. They're changing on the outside, but the change doesn't come from the inside. Not metamorphosis, that's masquerading. So my challenge or my question this morning is, what in your life for this year are not transforming, but only masquerading? What are you... What God wants to transform you, but many things we allow and we're actually just masquerading instead of transformation. Come on. And you think, wow, look at the outward appearance. Look at the change. But it's masquerading. It's not from within. It's not the true thing. But it's not the same. The Cremora, remember the Cremora? It's not inside, it's on top. And now it needs to be opposite. It mustn't be on top, it must be on the inside. Amen. That was just useless information. You take your appearance off, but it's not the real thing. My heart for this year and what you need to see is that there's a transformation because of your worship to God and your experience, and not just the masquerading. Thinking you're changing, but it's not the real deal. Come on. We don't want to waste our time, is it? Come on, say, I don't want to waste my time. God wants for you to transform from the inside out, from the inward nature, and not just to conform to something that you're actually not. So there's some process that God takes you through. And there's an illustration given by Paul, 2 Corinthians 11, of masquerading, where he says, 2 Corinthians 11, 13 to 15, he says, "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising," that's the word, disguising, masquerading, "themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light." So it's to no surprise of his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, but their end will correspond to their deeds. There's false teachers and people that just, there's no inward change, there's just an outward change, and they're masquerading, or they disguise themselves as true, but it's false. The outward image did not agree with the inward nature. Come on. So you need to look at yourself. Does your outward image align with the inward nature? Otherwise, you're masquerading, you're not transformation. There's no transformation. We're only pretending. So one of the examples of true transformation is Jesus' transfiguration on the mount, Matthew 17, where it says, "And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light." So the glory of God was where? Within Jesus. So when he is transfigured, transformation, it means that he shone his glory from that what was within, started to radiate to that what's out. Come on. You understand? John says, "We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Peter, in 2 Peter 1:16, says, "We were eyewitnesses to his majesty." So Jesus' transfiguration was not a masquerade. The angels didn't shine spotlights on him, come on, and suddenly became bright. No, no, no. The glory radiated from within. That was transformation. It was not a masquerade. It was not something from the outside, pinning wings on the worm. Transformed from the outside. No. He was transformed on the outside because of what was on the inside, the glory. And this is the kind of experience that God wants for you. This is the connection that God wants. When he says, when you come to worship, it's a transforming experience. That what the outward changes in your life is because of what I'm doing on the inside, what I'm busy with. I want you to see the glory. I want the glory to shine through you. Every Christian is either a conformer or a transformer. Amen. You're either conforming or transforming. Our lives are either being changed from the pressure outwards, we're conforming to something, or you are changed from, you know, transformed from the power of Holy Spirit within us. Amen. So where do you still give in that you conform and that you don't transform? Because God calls us this year to become transformers, not conformers. He calls us, Romans 12, 1 and 2, to be transforming, not conforming. It says this. There's two places we're going to quickly look at. Romans 12 and 2 Corinthians 3. Because both of them explain spiritual metamorphosis and how we should experience life. So he says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren," Romans 12, "by the mercies of God, to present," come on, say present. "Present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." We continue. "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect." Come on. Paul is contrasting two ways of life. One is the believer who's being transformed by God, and one is a believer who's being conformed to the world. He speaks to believers. He says, don't be a believer that is conforming to the world. Be a believer that is transformed by God. He contrasts the difference between metamorphosis and masquerading. That's what he's doing. So transformation of lives is from the power within. Say within. Whereas a conformer transforms to the pressure from without. That's the difference. One is from within and one is the pressure from without. And what he says is present. Say again, present. That word is the image of a priest offering a sacrifice on an altar. The word present there. That Greek word translated present is the technical term of offering a sacrifice. The difference here is that he says, present what? Yourself. Come on, say myself. As a living holy sacrifice. You have to offer. You're a priest that brings yourself as a sacrifice to glorify God. So you're a living sacrifice, not a dead corpse. Come on. I don't want to go always in formulas. We don't have step one and seven steps to blessings and all these things. But I see three things here that God wants us to present to Him so that we can experience transformation. One is that God wants your body. Say, my body. God wants your body. He says that the Greek verb where He says present your body is a once and for all presentation where you give your body to God, used for His service. It doesn't prevent you from doing that daily or reaffirming this, all right? But it's the thing where He says daily. Actually, Israel, the idea in Exodus was the continual burnt offering, morning and evening, morning and evening. Amen? The continual burnt offering, you bring yourself. It's a good pattern to follow. But how do you know, or how many of you know that the bride and the groom, they give themselves to one another on the day of marriage, they give themselves, but it doesn't just remain there, isn't it? Each day after that, they continually devote themselves and give themselves to one another. The same way God calls us. It's not just that we're getting married and now one day He says a daily thing where you give yourself. You present yourself. God wants your body. Come on. God wants my body. And sometimes we have the idea that the body is sinful. How many of you know a 100 rand note is not sinful? What you do with it, it's amoral. If you can either do bad or good, evil or good, isn't it? The money itself, and the same, your body is not sinful. We have a sinful nature, but the body is actually neutral. But we sometimes use it either for sin or for holiness, isn't it? Does it make sense? And sometimes we make worship so spiritual that we deny the use of body or material things. But God wants everything. Romans 6 says it beautifully. It says, don't present the members of your body as instruments of unrighteousness. He says, but present yourselves to God as instruments of righteousness. That's alive to God. Come on. So you can choose. So you give your body as instruments of righteousness unto God. So that God can be glorified. That's why He says, let your light shine. So that they may see your good works, that the Father may be glorified. Amen. That's Matthew 5. Worship must not stop with a personal mystical experience. Sometimes we make worship of our lives such a spiritual experience that we forget it must also just glorify God. It's not just an experience you have. There's a purpose. God wants to be glorified through you. Come on. So one, He wants your body. Second thing, God wants your mind. Come on, all of it. Your mind. Since you're made in the image of God, you're made with intelligence. Some of you maybe discover that still, but you're made with intelligence. Emotions, will. Amen? You need all of that. And sure, all of that suffers from the effect of sin, the fall. But now He says, I want you to serve you with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your thoughts, everything. Because God renews it. God renews our lives, isn't it? A balanced Christian life involves more than just your will. And more just the delight, your emotions. It's more than just that. It involves discernment, your mind as well. You see this, passionate action without intelligence is fanaticism. Passionate action without intelligence. That's why it says we need wisdom. It's just fanaticism. So we need God's wisdom. God says we to love Him with our mind and with our hearts. Amen? You still good? Let's move. God wants us to think the way He thinks, not the world. So our mind ought to be so saturated with divine truth that it can determine the divine perspective on decisions that must be made. If you need wisdom, you need to have a divine understanding and divine truth that your determination can be a perspective of God in every situation that you do. That you can see His ways. Does it make sense? So God wants your body. God wants your mind. And then we have the Word of God, isn't it? Taught by the Spirit of God. It stays in us. We need the Word of God. To do what? The Word of God comes to our lives through preaching, teaching, personal witness, studying, meditating on the Word. But the Word has got the power to renew us. The power to transform us. And we have to spend time in the Word. Daily reading, meditating. The Word is a part of your worship. So God asks of you body, mind, soul, your will. Amen. Why does God say, I want your will, not your feelings? It's like what He says, love one another. I command you to love one another. How many of you know that when He says, I command, He commands us to love, it's something, an act of your will, it's not a feeling. Because sometimes you don't feel to love the other one, is it? That's why it's a command. He says, I want your will, because your will can influence, controls your mind. So we don't serve God just with our feelings, but with an act of will. That's why the one of the ways where Jesus comes with His will is He says, Father, let this cup pass. You have the power to do that, but not my will, but as you will. Come on. So He still says, I seek your will, that which you command, not as I feel. So God commands us to love one another. Not how we feel, He commands us to love one another. So just where it says so that you can experience the good, perfect will of God. God doesn't have three wills, okay? God doesn't have a good, acceptable, and perfect will. Because God is perfect. You agree? A perfect God can only will that which is perfect for us, isn't it? He doesn't have a good, acceptable, and perfect. It's not like the merchandise where you can have good, better, best, and you know, if you want best, you have to pay more for it. It's not like that. What God actually says is that by experience, that what the Greek means there is that God wants us to experience the will that is good, pleasing, and complete in Him. Amen. Some of you, it feels like I'm losing you. Come on. Just shake your neighbor. Say, we're almost done. Almost there. Two more things. I want to go into a text and then we're just going to look at a couple of differences between transformers and conformers. We need to be transformed because we need to radiate the glory of God, isn't it? We're called to radiate the glory of God. So just understand the background of 2 Corinthians 3. That's the other text. Remember it said Romans 12 and 2 Corinthians 3. The two things that God says what we need for transformation. So the one is your transforming by the renewing of your mind, your body, your will, emotions, and all that. But then there's a glory. And Paul in 2 Corinthians 3 is contrasting the ministry of grace with the ministry of law under the old covenant. The law of Moses, written on stones, but now God's word, the new covenant, is written on the tablets of our hearts. So there's the two that he contrasts. And he says, one is a ministry of internal change, not external compulsion. He says the ministry, the old covenant, which were great, he says, but the old covenant was a ministry of death. Where he says, but the new covenant is a ministry of grace that brings life. Ministry of death, ministry of grace that brings life. He says, under the law, the old covenant people were under bondage. But now we are under grace. Come on, grace. To enjoy spiritual liberty through the Spirit of God. So there's a spirit of grace. There's a new thing. So he, what he does is he's not contrasting the old and the new. He's contrasting the glory of the old versus the new. The glory that needs to come, because both had glory. Come on, say glory. So he's contrasting glory between old and new. And he says, God revealed his glory on the mount. When Moses was on Mount Sinai, God giving his commandments, what does it say? That the glory of God came and it radiated so greatly that Moses' face shone. Amen. So he was radiating from the glory that was there, but he was radiating not from the glory that was within. You have it? He was radiating because he was in God's presence, in God's glory, but it's an outward thing that came upon him, being in that environment, but it was not something from within. He was only reflecting the glory that he seen. And he had to hide it because it was temporary. He had to put a veil on his face that the people cannot see that it's busy fading away. He says, but there's a glory of the new covenant. Come on, say glory of the new covenant. And it says that's both permanent and increasing. Come on. Permanent and increasing. Becoming more and more glorious. That's what he says, that looking into a mirror, we are transformed in the glory of God from one image to another, from one glory to another. That must be increasing. That's the transformation that God wants. So that you are transformed in the image and likeness of God from one glory to another. That it's not masquerading just being a worm pinned with wings. I declare this year, you're not going to be a worm just pinning wings on yourself. But you're going to be transformed into one image, to one glory, to another. And it's going to be a true, legit change from the inward out. Amen. Say, I receive that. That's what he says. 2 Corinthians 3. We have nothing to hide, but with unveiled face, not like Moses veiling, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed, metamorphomai, into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. It says, beholding in a mirror. The mirror is a symbol of God's Word. So being in God's Word is the way that it transforms us. We worship and behold His glory. This is what He says. The increasing glory of Christ. Proverbs 4:18. The path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. Amen. Let's land it. God wants two things in this transformation. Dedication and discipline. Psalm 115 says, you look like what you worship, you become. He speaks of them and their pagan gods and the idols that they create, and they look like what they worship. You become like that what you adore. You become like that what you focus on. That's why it says, as we behold, come on, behold. As we behold, we are being transformed. You look like that what you worship. So if you want to be more like Him, start worshiping Him. Start beholding Him more. You're going to be transformed. You're going to look like Him. But it says, Romans 2 is a dedication. And then it speaks of a process of transformation. Sometimes we just do this. Come on, who can? Do this. Sometimes we just want it like this, isn't it? But it says, no. God wants your dedication. And then there's a process of transformation. Not a quick fix. Not a snap and I'm changed. God wants you to commit to a process. That's why He says, as we behold. As you renew your mind, you're going to start seeing the will of God. Yaku said it so beautifully last year. He says, if you want to know what's the will of God, you have to renew your mind. That's what He says. You are being transformed by the renewing, and then you will know what's the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Amen. If you don't know what's the will, start renewing your mind. It's a process. Come on, say it. Become transformers, not conformers. Let me just do this. What's the difference? So God demands a process of discipline. That's why He speaks to Timothy. And He says, hey, exercise yourself in godliness. There's a discipline. And we want the quick fix. Are you willing to pay the price for your house, for your home, for your church, whatever God, to experience in Him, to accomplish His purpose in your life? Are you willing for that? Many of us, we don't like a transformation experience of worship because we're comfortable with our lives the way it is. We enjoy our comfort, isn't it? Listen to this. When transformed believers, if you're a transformer, if you show up in a crowd of conformers, people are immediately feeling threatened because you are there, because you transform, you don't conform. Come on. Transformers don't create problems, they just reveal them. Nah? Transformers don't create problems, they reveal them. Transformers are participants. Many people want to be only spectators. But if you're a transformer, you reveal things. If you're a transformer, you're a participant. If you're a transformer, you wait for the Spirit. You don't want this. You wait for the Spirit patiently to come and change you to become more like Him. Transformers look for fruit. Conformers calculate results. Transformers look for fruit. A believer with a renewed mind is happy to hear God's word from anyone. Conformers wants the celebrity pastor, that guy, you know, that the leading pastor or the media or the superstar. But if you're a transformer, you can receive from anyone who ministers God's word. Amen? You should say that very loudly. Amen. Transformers trust God to do His work as they worship, pray, and sow. We trust God to do the work as we are faithful. Conformers, they just run from one conference to the next, or one seminar to the next, trying to discover all these new techniques to just do God's work better and with more speed but less personal cost. It's going to cost us something. Sometimes we just want to follow the latest fad without even asking questions, but where did that thing originate from? Is it even biblical? Transformers have a different set of values. They're not impressed by budgets and buildings. They look for fruit again that glorifies God. Amen? Say, I'm a transformer. Last thing, transformers aren't concerned about getting approval of the world or being popular. They're content to live their lives that please the Lord. Are you a transformer or conformer? God calls you to not conform to this world, but be transformed. Will you heed to the call? I'm ending off. Will you heed to the call? Will you become someone that does transformation and not masquerading? That's what I feel for this year. God calls us to get into a place where God's going to take you through processes so that you can transform into the image and likeness of Him. God doesn't want the end of 2025 say you were a great worm with beautiful wings, but that was just the pressure from without. You just conform to something. Don't fool yourself thinking there's change, but it's outwardly. Allow God to do a work in you this year to change from the inward to an outward manifestation. Amen. That's why it says, don't be conformers, but be transformers. Like the move, transformers, are you ready? Hey, come on. God calls you. That's who you are. So Father, as we are here, Lord, I want you to just, as we're ending off, what is hindering you, or what is the thing that you maybe need to surrender where God wants to transform you, and you've just been going around the bush conforming to things that you expect or things that you think people want. I should look like this. I should look like that. This is the new fad. This is the new thing. And you've been changing shape the whole time. You've been shape-shifting instead of being transformed, that you can bear the image of God. That you can radiate the presence and the glory of God. Christ in me, the hope of glory. I want you to surrender that and just lay that down before the Lord this morning. Maybe there's one, maybe there's many, many things that you say, I want to change this. I don't want to look like this anymore. I want to say this, in that struggle, don't speak down to yourself. You're a stupid thing. You just can't get it right. Sometimes you speak so down, allow God to transform you, but say, there's a time in my life where I had to say certain things. This is not the inheritance that I have in the Lord. This is not what God has for me. If I'm a son, there's an inheritance. This is not part of my inheritance. Bless yourself. Father, I pray that you will help us to renew our minds and in everything that we do this year, to know that we are transformers. That we will look for fruit. That we will look for a different value system. That we will examine and expose the depths of our beings. That God will see our true motives. We'll trust you to do your work. We'll be participants in that what you want to do. God calls you to a higher dimension. Above all, Father, the thing about the worship is because of who you are. And this year we are here to say and declare, and I want you to declare this in your heart with me. You say, I come to worship you for who you are, regardless of what I need or what I can get from you. This year, like Daniel, he has purposed in his heart that you will come and say, this year I purpose in my heart to seek you for who you are and not your hand and that what I can get. That maybe there will be times that we have to sit and wait upon the Lord until he breaks through. You see, do you come to church to just tick off a box and say, I've done it, my religious duty? Or are you seeking God to be transformed truly? And that what he wants, and because you love him, do you come because of who he is? I hear it so often these last days that people are so offended and got so hurt and because of church and all these things. Do you come to church because of people, or do you come because you seek him? Because you love him? Because you honor him? We don't gather because of just us. It's good to gather. It says how good and how pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in fellowship. Our hearts and our drive is because of him and who he is. So Father, help us in this year to change our hearts and our motives, to transform. I declare that you will not shapeshift this year just from one image to another and just thought and saw that it was just pretending and masquerading. But I declare that in this year a true, genuine transformation will come. And you will be transformed into the image and likeness, and that you will experience the love of your Father and the goodness of God, and that you will see his glory radiating in you and through you, because that's who you are. And it's all because of him. As you behold him, you will become more like him. So Father, help us to align our hearts. Fix your eyes on him this morning. Don't look at people. We will disappoint at some stage. But when you look at him, the author and finisher of your faith, he will do it for you. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We praise you and glorify you. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to know more about who we are and what we do, go visit our website at bechurch.co.za. You're formed to function. Let's be church.